Okay. Good morning. I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education for Monday, April 10th, 2017, and also open a public hearing for Senate Bill 5524, the Higher Education Coordinating Committee Budget Bill. Today, colleagues, as you probably noticed, we have a room full of folks and a couple lists here as we do public testimony for community colleges. I also would like to recognize someone who will be called up shortly, but our former speaker, Dave Hunt, now Clackamas Community College board member, who is joining us today. Pleasure to see you, sir. If there are no questions beforehand, I think what we're going to do is we're going to call folks up about three at a time, because three is the most comfortable number of chairs to sit up there. And as you can see, we have the new magic timer up on the screen there. We decided to split the difference and give folks 2.5 minutes. Little more than the two if we were super crowded, but not quite as much as the three to make sure we get through as many people as possible. Hopefully you will find it helpful that you will see the countdown as you are speaking, and there will also be a sound cue at the end when you are done. So that's right. So our first three folks, Jen McKinney, Sean Abbey, and Dave Marsh, please.
And members, and Madam Chair, members, there is an overflow room next door. They're able to watch it, and we'll try to call names. So if there are people, folks in the other room, please come over when we call it and sort of put you on deck.
And I'm happy to, I'll call the on-deck names now for the next panel, just in case anybody is next door. That will be Steve, either Wilmer or Whitmer, Ben Duramling, and Dave Hunt.
Madam Chair, there's only
yes.
two chairs.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are only two chairs. That's unfortunate.
You can disconnect the...
Anything we can do about that?
Yeah, you can disconnect the plastic thing on the bottom and bring that one up on the end there. Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, I know. Oh, here comes one.
Oh, here we go. Thank you. I apologize. We usually have three chairs up there.
Thank you.
Two testifiers and an analyst.
The mics are sensitive, so about 6 inches.
Yep. And anyone, and then could we also move that screen on the computer, because it's hard to see that. If you can kind of pop it, place it down. Thank you. It is. There we go.
Great, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And Jen, do you want to go first? And please,
sure.
Everybody, when you're testifying, please start by identifying yourself for the record.
Hello, I'm Jen McKinney from Lane Community College in Eugene. I'm Chair Warner, Chairman Rowe, and members of the committee. My name is Jen McKinney. I'm a Lane Community College student. I'm excited to be here today. In preparation for my testimony, I read each of your biographies on the legislative websites. And as I read those, I realized that each of us has a shared experience. Unfortunately, Representative Hernandez isn't here, but I read his backstory on OPB earlier this year, and what resonated with me was that it only takes just one moment to create a cascade of events that can change your life forever, because for me, I had that moment. 2 years ago, I was raped at my workplace, and afterwards, I wasn't put back on the schedule because my presence would remind the customers of what had happened, and that wouldn't be good for business. So for quite some time, I wasn't sure if I would work again. I left my house very sparingly. I watched my life pass by day after day in a slow motion agony of worthlessness. And it's largely because I have been able to attend community college that I'm now confident that I say that I'm a woman of worth. I'm no longer in slow motion, and I'm determined. And to paraphrase his words, my anger at the unfairness of the world gives me the drive to speak out for those who cannot. Representative Lively, my daughter's 5.5, and we've never been able to afford childcare. It's only because of the C Campus grant, a federal grant that's also under the threat of removal, that I'm able to attend school. In reading your biography, I was touched to learn that you've been so invested in early childhood education. Because you attended LCC, as I do, you may be aware of the excellent child care program that enables both myself and my daughter to be highly prepared as we take on our next educational endeavors. Representative Parrish, it's great to see bipartisan community college representation on this committee. As a representative or as a graduate of a community college, I'm sure you're aware that community college students are among the most vulnerable in higher education. We often come from complicated backgrounds and live in complicated situations. Representative Warner, I'm passionate too about issues that affect families, as you can see, because this issue affects mine. Without access to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, our very low-income family would need to make troubling decisions about how to stretch our money. Would we all be able to eat each month, or only our daughter? And finally, I'll end here, but I implore you to make the choice to raise the community college budget amount to $636 million and to make the choice to fund the Oregon Opportunity Grant to $155 million. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you.
David Marsh, DMG Maury, and Chemeketa Machine Tool graduate. Chairman Monroe and Chairman Warner and members of the committee. I graduated the Machine Tool Technology program about 6 years ago, and it was one of the most life-changing experiences I ever had, being able to go through that program. I graduated and went instantly into a job before graduation where I had all the necessary skills for what I needed for that industry. I started at a company, and within 1 year I was running the department. And I was the hiring manager, purchasing manager. I did a lot of different things. I was training new people. And then I was asked to come back and be a member of that advisory committee and help shape that program. And since then, I've constantly just been excelling in my industry. I currently now work for DMG Mori, and we're a machine tool builder, and we work with all the customers in our area. And everywhere we go, we see the same common problem, that there's just not enough people in the workforce. And a lot of people maybe don't understand what the machine tool technology industry is about. And so it's a lack of education on their part. But Chemeketa, by far, in the U.S., is probably one of the greatest machine tool technology programs. They have a higher job placement rate than any of the technical staffs, where it could be nursing, fire, any of that. I'm not definitely not as prepared as she was, but I didn't read any of your biographies, but I do see the importance of education and higher education in U.S., being able to work with all the people in the industry. We always refer people back to Chemeketa to get tours and to be able to see where they can get educated employees and for the workforce.
Thank you.
Good morning. Representative Smith Warner and Senator Monroe and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Sean Abbey. I own Abbey Carpet Care here in Salem. And this is my second year in the Chemeketa Small Business Program. In my 26 years, I've experienced the ups and downs of starting and subsequently running such a small business. And in that time I've owned Abbey Carpet Care, I've bought out three fellow businesses. And with that, I started noticing a pattern. They were tired. The owners were burned out. They had no encouragement. And subsequently, they had a loss of customers. And they had no knowledge of QuickBooks. They had no knowledge of business law. They had no knowledge of employment law, forecasting, cash flow management, or even how to run a day-to-day business with employees. And I've heard it said that knowledge is power. And for the small entrepreneur, there's no power left when you lose your ambition. Some industries, mine included, have a continuing education program, but none of which really covers management and everyday challenges of running such a small business. Now, since small business is such a driver of the Oregon economy as well as through the nation, it's important that many of these business owners and entrepreneurs have a continuing education program. That's what keeps them in business, that's what keeps them encouraged, and that's what keeps them driving to grow and flourish. And with that, of course, comes jobs, and comes a lot, an increase in employment. Now, with that contributor to a business failure, a lot of times when a business closes, they also lose those jobs. So I encourage you to continue to fund this small business program so entrepreneurs and people like me can continue to be educational, continue our education as well as grow and flourish and to stay encouraged. Because a lot of times it's really easy to be overwhelmed by all of these laws and regulations that we need to live under, but also it's a great source of continuing to be encouraged. And with increased knowledge comes increased power for small businesses to flourish and grow. And with that, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. Next, I'd like to call up Steve Whitmer, Ben DeRamling, and Dave Hunt. And then on deck will be Wiljan Brown, Victoria Rodriguez, and Jessica Driver.
Co-chairs Representative Smith Warner and Senator Monroe and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Ben Doimling, and I run Xena Forest Products, which is a vertically integrated forest, sawmill, and millwork operation here in the Willamette Valley. I work with our local hardwood resource and manufacture high-quality hardwood lumber and flooring. 99% of my sales are within Oregon, and the bulk of those are here within the Willamette Valley. Xena Forest Products is a family-run business and started small with the initial recognition of an unmet market and an underutilized resource. As an entrepreneur and small business owner, I have pursued many opportunities for business advice and professional development over the years. 3 years ago, I was introduced to the Chemeketa Small Business Management Program, and I have been participating in the program ever since. Over the last 9 years that I have been running my business, I have slowly grown it from its humble beginnings as a one-man operation to a business with 4 employees and 2 FTE contractors and an annual gross revenue of over $500,000. The bulk of that growth has occurred over the last 3 years that I've been participating in the SBM program and as a direct result of that participation. The combination of relevant and engaging classes, dedicated mentors, and access to business development resources beyond the SBM program make for a stellar program. I stand here today speaking not just for myself, but on behalf of all the businesses that benefit from these services. As a cohort, the 60 businesses from the Mid-Valley enrolled in the Chemeketa SBM program during 2015 started with $40 million in annual sales and employed a total of 406 full and part-time positions. They ended that year with $47.4 million in annual sales and employed a total of 476 full and part-time positions. This is an 18 and 17% increase, respectively. These numbers prove more than anything that the Small Business Management Program. Please continue to fund the Small Business Development Centers and the SBM program in particular, at least at their current level. Money invested in local business development has a very high rate of return for our state and local economies. For every dollar invested in the SBDCs, $5 is returned to the state in increased tax revenue. Small local businesses are huge drivers of Oregon's economy, and in this era of global competition and corporate dominance, I mean it when I say that we need all the help we can get. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hello. My name's Steve Whitmer. I'm with DMG Mori. Pleasure meeting you, Senator Monroe, Roblin, Smith Warner, Representative Wiesnot.
Wiesnot.
Represent Parrish and Lively. I work for DMG Mori. We're a company that manufactures machine tools, manufacturing equipment. We have factories in Germany, throughout Europe, throughout Japan, and a factory in Northern California. Our equipment is used throughout the state of Oregon. I'm a sales representative. I travel throughout the state of Oregon in all manufacturing companies. Some of the companies I regularly visit are the Boeing Company, a company in Newburgh, ADEC, building dental chairs, Nike, Leupold and Stevens, GK Machine. Industries that I visit, agricultural equipment, die mold, recreational equipment, aerospace, automotive. Everything kind of starts at the heart of manufacturing. So as I travel throughout the state in each of these companies, some of the biggest, the most requested thing that I'm asked is looking for people, looking for operators, machinists, programmers, setup people, manufacturing engineering. And it's the biggest need throughout the state of Oregon. I travel to the California border, to Vancouver, east to the west side. And I hear that more than anything else. Buying the equipment's the easy part. It's finding people to run it. I'm heavily involved in the Chemeketa Community College. I'm on their advisory panel, and it's been very successful. Actually, there's a lot of companies that have gotten word. The Chemeketa program and the machining technology program has some of the leading technology equipment in their program. And because of that, there's companies from Bend area that are requesting to visit with the dean specifically to request that they would like to offer 5-6 students full ride scholarships because of the program, because of the equipment that they have, because it is representative to industry needs. So definitely, the Lynn Bentons, I'm involved there as well, Lane Community College, Portland, Clackamas, Clark, and then now that there's a new program getting started up out in St. Helens. So I'm a big supporter for community colleges and support, so please support them.
Thank you.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, Dave Hunt. I have the privilege of serving on the Clackamas Community College Board, and I would invite folks from Clackamas, who are mostly in the back row, to raise their hands. In addition to them, our president, Joanne Truesdell, and my board colleague, Greg Chamoff, are in the overflow room, wherever that is. I also have the privilege of serving as the president and CEO of the Pacific Northwest Defense Coalition, which is an industry association of about 250 Northwest manufacturers. And the number one issue we hear from our members is the workforce challenges. They are growing, creating new jobs, posting new jobs, and cannot find the people to fill those jobs. And we just hear over and over again across the Northwest and certainly within the Clackamas District that they need strong community colleges to be effective in training future workforce to fill these jobs that they've got. They don't want to fill them with people from outside the Northwest. They want to fill them from people with people right here within Oregon. We are directly trying to address those needs based on some past state funding for capital. We have matched that and are just about to open up later this year a new health professions building on our Harmony Road campus. We just broke ground last week on a new industrial technical center, which will be a manufacturing building on our Oregon City campus. So we're doing everything we can to attract new students and to keep up with facility needs. We have a growing student population. We're actually up 9.6% year over year compared to last year. And some of that growth is definitely due to the Oregon Promise. And you all have really prioritized access as a challenge and an opportunity and a priority. One of the challenges of increasing student population and access for us is whether those students are bringing in tuition dollars or whether they're bringing in Oregon Promise dollars. Those make up about one-third of the actual cost of educating those students. So to some degree, for every new student we get, we're losing or have to find a way to come up with those other two-thirds of the cost. And that's a great problem to have because these students are getting a great education. They really need this training, but it definitely creates a gap that we need your help in filling, which is why we're joining with other community colleges and asking for $634 million in the appropriation for community colleges. That will actually address that need to keep growing those programs and also to ensure student success. We also have the corresponding facility needs. More students and the need for student success in those programs means we need to keep updating and expanding facilities. And that's why all the community colleges have come together on a common list of capital needs, and we'd ask for your support for both of those. Appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, next up, we have Wilgen Brown, Victoria Rodriguez, and Jessica Driver. And on deck, Manuel Mejia Gonzalez, Dr. Michael Sonleitner, and Mark Mitsui. Okay.
Hello, Chairman Monroe, Chairman Wono, and members of the committee. My name is Wilgen S. Brown. I am a student at Lane Community College with a current GPA of 3.7 as I work towards two AAOTs. I work at our college food pantry and in our student government. I sit on an OSA board and at any time at least one college governance council. I do all of this work so that I may one day fight for minorities here at the state capitol. I put in this work every week despite depression, PTSD, and other mental variations caused by severe childhood abuse, which I cannot afford the tests nor the medications for. My inability to pay for these can be attributed to the $1,000 or more of student fees I have to pay for out of pocket each term. And my dad's taxes prevent me from being able to take out large loans. So I've had to ask my friends who are in college and in much of a difficult boat as I am in to help me pay for my fees. Due to my PTSD, which sometimes leaves me immobile and or unable to speak, I am unable to work in places such as Walmart or McDonald's. And my GED will not pave the way to a job that is accessible to my needs, such as one that is easy for me, like testifying in front of y'all. If community colleges like my own do not receive funding, the roof over my head and the very limited counseling that I'm able to receive via free resources, and the changes I could one day fight for will be gone. And mine is not the only path that is affected. There are hundreds of voices across this state that will be either quieted or enhanced by the decisions this body makes. And so I ask you to please make the decision to fund community colleges at $636 million. Please fund our future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Representative Smith Warner and Senator Monroe and members of the committee. My name is Jessica Driver. I'm a student at Lane Community College, and I'm finishing my third year. I've been attending full-time for 3 years, and I'm just about to finish my AAOT. I'm planning to transfer to Corbin University and become a teacher of English as a second language. And LCC is an amazing school. I've learned a lot about teaching from all the teachers there, my dance instructor and my math instructor and my history instructor. Unfortunately, my family is unable to help me pay for college. They are struggling to support 8 children, including me, and I can only afford to plan to go to Corbin because my dad works there. I can only manage 15 hours of work a week while still being able to keep my grades up. If my classes and books weren't being paid for by my charter high school, I would barely be able to afford LCC at its current price. That's not even counting like food and living expenses. I'm working hard right now just to afford my university education, and my life is already a challenge just to keep up with all those things. And so many other students are struggling with more than I have. They have kids. They have to pay rent. They have to pay for their bills and stuff. And I can't imagine how they manage to keep it all together and actually make it through school with all the challenges that they face. And that's the main reason there aren't more of them here today, is because they can't afford to take 6 hours out of their day to advocate for themselves here in Salem. One student told me she's stressed out about finances most of the year. And many students, including me, look for extra ways to make money, like donating blood plasma. The cost of college, along with the basic costs of living, are already so much, students can't afford the proposed tuition increases at many of our community colleges. To prevent this from becoming a reality, please support funding community colleges at $636 million. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, Co-Chair Monroe and Smith Warren, and members of the Ways and Means Committee. My name is Victoria Rodriguez. I am a low-income Latina American student with disabilities. I am here today because I need my elected officials to support me in a time of need. I came here from California, where in-state tuition was affordable, to a state that I viewed as more affordable and was shocked to find out that the cost of education was outrageous and obscene. I love Oregon and Lane Community College because of its location and accessibility. When I started at Lane, I was able to afford college without having to take on loans, but am now forced to take on unsubsidized loans to cover the cost of college and living. My father also suffers from physical disabilities and is unable to work. Because of our inability to work, my sister is forced to work two jobs in order to support our family. This is a position that I never expected to be in, and it is gut-wrenching. I ask you, what is a community college? It is a place where all individuals can come together to get an education, which included marginalized communities, folks with disabilities, low-income students, and working-class Americans. What happens when education is not accessible to everyone in the community because the cost is out of reach? Tuition used to be $99 a credit when I started at LCC. Then it went up to $104. We now risk a 40% increase. It seems like in order to afford college, you have to work at least two jobs. Because of my disability, I cannot work to afford college education. It's about getting a better job to avoid the dead-end job or multiple part-time jobs. How can it be that a student have to work those same jobs in order to pay for college that is so expensive when it should be affordable for everyone? We are the community, and education is being held hostage against us because we cannot afford it. At the rate, at the current rate, Oregon's education population will be an oligarchy where community colleges will only be able to be accessible to those that have enough money to afford it. I would like to ask my state legislators, how much is too much when colleges are about to close or when the students who are the most in need are no longer able to afford it due to the lack of state support? I ask humbly, do you all have the courage to act now and prevent this problem before it becomes too large to solve? I look to the state legislators and humbly ask that you please support community colleges at $636 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, next up, please, Manuel Mejia Gonzalez, Dr. Michael Sonleitner, and Mark Matsui. And then on deck, we'll have Mark Goldberg, Edith Molina, and Lisa Phoenix, perhaps.
Good morning, Chairman Rowe. Chair Smith Warner, my name is Manuel Mejia Gonzalez. I'm a recent transfer student from Lane Community College, currently enrolled at the University of Oregon, and I'm here to respectfully but firmly ask you to reinvest in our community colleges at a total of $636 million. Like most students at community colleges, I'm a student with low resources and the first generation in my family to pursue a degree through post-secondary education, although that wasn't always my plan. After my best friend convinced me back in 2013, I soon enrolled onto Lane and learned about the value in a post-secondary education. The matter of the fact is that community colleges serve traditionally marginalized communities in pursuing dreams of stable futures, given their affordableness when compared to traditional university costs. However, as I enrolled into Lane and looked for some of my high school friends, I was confronted with the harsh reality that although most of them did try to enroll, it was simply too expensive. Just a year later, my own sister did not enroll for that same reason. Today, thanks to the opportunities and skill sets that I gained through my financially burdensome education, I aspire to become a high school teacher and eventually a professor. 3 years after enrolling at Lane, I see the same value in higher education. The difference is I now project it onto my community. I am currently a substitute teacher assistant for my local school district, and let me tell you that everyone there sees a big problem with our prison pipelines from schools, school to prison pipelines. And the United Nations themselves have pointed this out to us as a nation. As it relates to us, Oregon definitely pays too much to keep Oregonians in jail rather than in school, even though higher education lowers crime rates across the board. Now I know that you will take very difficult decisions in this committee, and because of the power you hold to affect our beloved Oregonians, and for that same reason, I ask you to make history and fund our community colleges to make these stable futures a reality for the most stratified Oregonians. You all will see that when not confronted with such adverse realities, the human nature becomes rather gentle. The reason that I ask you to support community colleges at this amount, $636 million, is because non-affluent Oregonians deserve a higher education, not a cell. Had it not been for me enrolling onto a community college, I could not be a teacher assistant today, and although through much hardship working around 40 hours to pay my tuition, I want to finish by respectfully asking you all to remember my testimony as you allocate funding in our community colleges. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, Co-Chair Smith-Warner and Monroe, members of the committee. My name is Mark Mitsui, and I'm president of Portland Community College. And at PCC, we have to set tuition in early spring, so we based our budget on the co-chair's framework, which means that PCC still has a $12 million hole to fill, so we raised tuition over 7.5%. Even with a significant tuition increase, we still will have to cut expenditures, which means lower levels of service. If the CCSF budget is closer to $634 million, PCC could avoid cutting services and expand our capacity to bridge regional skills gaps by moving more low-income students into high-wage careers while lowering tuition. Affordable tuition, as you know, is not the only issue our students face. And I know you've heard this several times, but the Pell Grant and the Oregon Opportunity Grant no longer cover the true opportunity and life costs of going to school. Our new majority student, as you've heard today, is closer to 29 than 19, is working, often two jobs, making rent or mortgage payments while raising a family and trying to keep up in school. We often say that our students are one flat tire and one sick kid away from dropping out. A recent study of 33,000 students in 70 community colleges across 24 states found that two-thirds of these students are food insecure, about half were housing insecure, and 14% were homeless. As students have carried more and more the costs of higher education, they end up working more, studying less, graduating at lower rates, and accumulating more debt. PCC provides an ever-increasing number of social services, such as food banks, transportation services, childcare, Head Start, and innovative partnerships with the Department of Human Services. We're lowering textbook costs and estimate we'll save students over $1 million through our Open Educational Research Resource Initiative. We're expanding innovations in developmental math, student success programs such as Future Connect, Career Pathways, Gateway to College, Early College, Middle College, Fostering Success, and TRIO. And these are all ways of attempting to curb these concerns, but the greatest issue is the state disinvestment in the community colleges. And we're asking you to find a more permanent solution to this disinvestment. We are at a critical juncture. Our region's robust economic recovery has not benefited everyone equally, and significant disparities in median household income exist by region and by race. Community colleges have been the bridge to middle class for generations, and with adequate funding, we can continue to do so. And we have about 30 additional comments, so be glad to enter these into the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Sunleitner. I'm an elected trustee at Portland Community College. I represent, in 2015, 105,000 voters in Southeast Portland. I am a lifelong educator. To become a trustee, I retired after 40 years of teaching, 27 years full-time at Portland Community College. I taught politics. I taught state and local government. I taught about our tax system. In every legislative session since 1988, I brought my state and local government students to Salem to hear testimony, to give testimony, and to seek additional funding for K through 12 and higher education. It's been very frustrating. For those of you who have been here for a long time, and I say that as a compliment, we're at a critical juncture. In 1988, when I became a full-time faculty person at PCC, our tuition was $24.50 per credit hour. Now, as a trustee, come next September, I have consented to authorize $104 per credit hour, going to $111 per credit hour the year thereafter if additional funding is not forthcoming. We have a gentlepersons agreement among our board that we are willing to roll back some of that additional $7 per credit hour year after next if the money that you put forward prior to July or after July in your final budget allows us to do so. The number 634 is being put forward. I understand realities. Unless you go far beyond measure 97 light and make it maybe measure 97 medium, we're going to be very, very short on cash. But understand that the reality for our students is sleeping in their cars, not eating, not having child care, dropping out and having much of their opportunities for their futures postponed, if not eliminated. I appeal to you to raise the revenues, to get as close to 634 as you can, and sleep well at night thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. Next, please, Mark Goldberg, Edith Molina, and Lisa Finks, perhaps, and on board, Neil Nijes, Carmen Roche, and Casey White-Zolman.
Co-Chair Smith-Warner, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Goldberg, and I'm the Associate VP of Workforce Development and Continuing Education at Portland Community College. I'm here to advocate for funding of $634 million for the Community College Support Fund. As the primary workforce training providers across Oregon, community colleges are able to train job seekers and students for living wage job opportunities in multiple high-demand industry sectors, skill up incumbent workers to advance in their careers, and as importantly, support employers in filling positions with qualified workers and supporting business growth. The Georgetown University Center of Education and the Workforce recently published a report illustrating that of the 11.6 million jobs created across the country during the post-recession economy, 11.5 million of those jobs went to workers with some post-secondary education. In other words, 99% of the job growth went to workers with more than a high school education. The report also showed that workers with at least some post-secondary education make up 65% of the total employment in the country right now. PCC and our sister colleges regularly respond to changing business and industry needs with innovative programs. For example, PCC just launched a new accelerated maritime welding career pathways program in partnership with Vigor Industrial to train students for family wage welding jobs with the company or other regional employers. The training is taking place at the shipyards on site at Vigor. We've enrolled 23 students last week in the program, with 10 of them being female students, which is significant for an industry and occupation so heavily dominated by men. Our local workforce development board has been able to bring financial resources to pay student costs for this training. Knowing the importance of post-secondary education in the post-recession economy and the variety of ways that colleges partner with employers across the state, it is imperative for colleges to have sufficient funding to be responsive to industry and continue to train the future Oregon workforce. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Edith Molina. Good morning, Chair Monroe, Chair Smith, Warner. I am here today to support community college funding. My relationship with PCC.
And you can stay a little bit back.
You need to get away from that mic. You're feeding back. There you go.
That's
perfect.
Good. Much better. Okay. And I'm very loud, too. So, I started community college right after I graduated from high school in The Dalles, Oregon. And they offer 6 credits to go to our local community college, Columbia Gorge. And thanks to that, I was able to start on my higher education career. I then transferred to Oregon State University, and after I graduated, I started working at PCC Community College in Rock Creek as an assistant to the CAMP program. PCC has been very supportive in all my career endeavors, and now as a small business owner, PCC is a partner with me in encouraging Latinas to advance in their careers and their professional development. And so I know how important community college is for people like me and that come from humble beginnings. And as you already know, the demographics have been changing, and Latinos are in community colleges in large numbers. It is our pathway to get to start our careers and to then transfer to higher ed. PCC has promised or has advocated for reducing tuition, and this would greatly improve the enrollment of more students and also succeed in college. I want to please ask you to, and I encourage you to support funding the community college at the $63 million. Thank you.
Yeah, we're having trouble with the mouse, so I apologize.
There we go.
Go ahead.
Okay. Co-Chairs Monroe, Smith Warner, and the rest of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today. For the record, my name is Lisa Jean Phoenix, and I'm the program coordinator for Portland Community College's Fostering Success Program, and I am a former foster youth. As a former foster youth, I really struggled in college. Like many foster youth, I had learning disabilities. I was homeless with a baby. I lived in a tent while going to school. I was under a lot of unusual pressures that other students didn't have to face as a former foster youth. I was fortunate that I went to college at a time when, even though I was a high school dropout and had a GED, I went to college at a time when there were more support services still available, so I was able to get disability testing because I had dropped out of high school, didn't have any records. I was able to actually have that done on the college campus and then be appropriately placed into college courses I could succeed at. This testing now, most campuses can't have a staff person who's qualified to do that, and it has to be sent out, which is quite expensive. Prior to joining PCC Fostering Success, I ran a college support program for foster youth in Michigan, one of the leaders in successfully shifting college graduation rates for foster youth. They basically are able to fund programs that mimic a lot of the supports that families would provide students. And this is necessary in order to get foster youth to graduate. Even tracking student success takes money, right? So if we're going to track students, that has to be within FERPA guidelines. I want to see these students succeed, and I know for my program to develop and get better and really do what it intends to do, it needs to offer more. But even just tracking them, I have to work within FERPA guidelines. Students do not have to disclose that they are foster youth, and therefore I need to have incentives in order to get them to disclose that and be able to track their success rates. We have done legislation that supports foster youth. So the HB 2095, Oregon's tuition and fee waiver, was a great approach. But the challenge with just mandates without money is that they have some unintended consequences. And we have youth that when they transfer, they're after age 25, and sometimes colleges choose not to go to honor the tuition waiver. So colleges are stretched thin, and we need to do more if we really want to support this population. So I desperately want to see 395, 396, and 551 be passed, but I need them to be passed with dollars if we're going to make them most effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next, Neil Nijes, Carmen Roche, and Casey White-Zolman. And on deck, please, be prepared. Quentin Jeans, Zach Malatester, perhaps, Cassandra James. Whoever wants to start.
Co-chairs Monroe, Smith Warner, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Neil Nijes, and I'm program manager at Portland Community College. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of additional funding for Oregon's community colleges. We know that robust student services are critical in helping improve the successful completion rates of our most vulnerable students. Over the years, cuts in state support for community colleges has generally had the most impact on these critical student services, where certainly at PCC, many of the reductions were in the student services areas. In the past few years, we've been able to restore many of these services, but we're just now approaching the levels of services that we had before the cuts, and without additional dollars, it is likely that Not only will you not be able to sustain these, but in fact may suffer additional reductions. I oversee the Fostering Success Program, which Lisa was just mentioning, and we're creating a support network for foster youth to improve the completion rate of those youth attending college, which data shows right now is a dismal 3% nationally. And we appreciate the legislature's passing the foster youth tuition waiver, but with a 97% failure rate, that's not a very good return on investment. Additional support services are necessary to support foster youth in college, and without additional funding, these resources may cease to exist. An example similar to what Lisa was describing, where funding has impacted students, is a story of one of the foster youth hoping to attend PCC. She completed her GED, but has a learning disability. She was never tested in high school and never received an IEP. In order to be placed accurately and receive accommodations at PCC, she needs to be tested. But this costs $500, which she clearly doesn't have. Prior to previous budget cuts, she could have been tested at PCC, but that is not available to her now. Thus, her chance of finding success in college has been greatly reduced. And this is just one example of how these cuts have impacted students and student success. Also, I might point out that older students returning to college or attending college for the first time also need extra support. I feel it's critical to provide adequate funding to ensure the necessary support to help our students have successful outcomes, and so I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Carmen Roach. Thank you, Co-Chair Warner and Monroe and committee members for taking the time to hear me out. I'm 19 years old and I attend Lynn Benton Community College. I'm in my third term. And I'm going to community college and college upper, and I'm planning to transfer to better my future. And, you know, that's what all students say. That's cliche. But, I mean, it's true. My past wasn't so great, and I am going to better my future because it's going to be better than my past. Throughout my busy schedule right now, I am currently trying to find my mother some psychiatric help because she is, she's living homeless in the Portland area. And I grew up homeless. I transferred schools many times. I lived in shelters and trailers with relatives. Anyway, I firsthand know the benefits that, I firsthand know the benefits what proper spending can do, and I know what improper spending can do too. I've seen that. I've witnessed that. And I choose to go to community college first because it's affordable. Not everybody can go to university firsthand. And I believe that community colleges help students like me who want to escape the cycle that their parents may drag them into. Oregon has record high revenues right now. We have a lot of lottery money that we can spend, and yet we're still running deficits, and the priorities are wrong. We need to invest in our future and the people that are going to eventually put more money, better our economy, and put more money into the budgets that you're working on. We need to invest in things such as the Oregon Opportunity Grant, which I am a recipient of. We need to invest in it, fund it somewhere around $155 million. I use that money to visit my mom when need be. I'm down in Albany. She's up in Portland. You can see the taxpayers' money at work right now in me. I'm going to be using this money to better my future, and I am going to make this be a contributor to this economy and to these taxes at some point. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Monroe and Co-Chair Smith-Warner and members of the committee. My name is Casey White-Zollman, and I'm Vice President of Public Relations for Blue Mountain Community College in Pendleton. I want to thank you for this time to speak this morning about our precision irrigated agriculture program at Blue Mountain. In 1975, there were no center pivot irrigation systems in the Hermiston area. Local farmers who raised watermelons used flood irrigation and had yields ranging from just 3 to 5 tons per acre. Today, those yields have increased to 30 to 50 tons per acre while using one-third as much water applied through a drip irrigation system. This is just one example of improved technology being adopted by the agricultural industry to increase efficiencies while decreasing costs, more effectively using our water resources. The two most valuable resources that we all have are air and water, and precision irrigated agriculture focuses on these two resources in the best way, never wasting, always cognizant of how to share with others so all our needs are met. In less than 3 months, a new facility will be completed on the grounds of the OSU Hermiston Agricultural Research and Experiment Center, allowing BMCC and OSU to partner in the delivery of education to our agricultural partners while improving productive practices using our precious water resource. The program was designed with a primary focus on traditional high school graduates, but the industry has now begun asking for more short-term training through intensive seminars, and farmers have shown a need for increased knowledge and skill development for their workers. Precision irrigated agriculture is designed to show students how to be good stewards of our precious water resource. By precisely delivering water to where the plant needs it at just the right time, we decrease water use while increasing productivity. Unmanned aerial vehicles can be used to scout fields to determine crop water needs, and infrared photography can tell of plant stresses which need to be addressed, while soil mapping can help us know how much water can be stored in the soil and how much will infiltrate and at what rate. The use of auto steer and GPS on tractors and sprayers allows agriculturists to precisely apply chemicals, avoiding overlaps, decreasing overall chemical use, costs, and eliminating waste and possible crop damage. BMCC strives to meet the needs of our community. After all, that's why community is in our name. When community and industry partners speak, we listen, and we respond with vital programs and trainings that meet their needs. We provide current, relevant, and responsive educational programs for our students. Our partnerships with industries make this a reality, and the strong relationships BMCC has with industry leaders, including growers and suppliers in farming and irrigation, have helped make the Precision Irrigated Agriculture Program as possible. I urge you to support an increase in funding for the community colleges so we can continue programs like this in our communities. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. Now I'd like to call forward Quentin Jeans, Zach Malatison, perhaps, and Cassandra James. And on deck, please, Frank Gooland, Hannah Vanderling, and Enrique F. Whoever wants to start can start.
Hello, Co-Chair Smith-Warner, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. My name is Zachary Sandra Melatesta. Don't worry about that. My handwriting's not all that good. And I am currently at the University of Oregon. I am with the ASUO, the Associated Students of the University of Oregon, and I'm here to ask that you fund community college at $636 million and the Oregon Opportunity Grant at $155 million. The reason I'm here talking about community colleges is because I went through community college, Roe Community College down in Medford, or up in down in Medford. And it was probably the most life-changing experience I've ever had. I come from a family of mill workers, and if you can tell from my physique, I am not a mill worker. I don't really ever thought that was an opportunity for me. And I really didn't think education was either. My dad doesn't believe in the education system at all, whatever that means. You can take whatever it means for it. But until I went to Roe Community College, I really only had one path, and that was that hard work meant hard labor. And I was not a hard laborer. I have many reasons why I'm not. One of them is that I'm just not all that strong. From there, I met some of the most amazing people and heard the most incredible stories. And about half a year into it, I became student body president and was able to talk about this exact issue 2 years in a row. I believe in community college, and I believe that it is a hope in a community for people who don't have it. And I didn't have it. I didn't think I had a first chance. But there are a lot more than just me who was coming out of getting my GED to go to an affordable college. There are people who want a second chance, and I think deserve it. So when you're not funding community colleges as high as they need to be, and it becomes less affordable, you're really writing off the single mothers, the at-risk youth, the students in communities where they never heard that they had a chance. Community college is their beacon of hope, and education is how they can learn beyond just being the mill worker or the person who works at McDonald's or the criminal. I think it is very important that you make this decision to completely fund and give the complete ask of 636 and 155 because the Oregon Opportunity Grant goes to those who need the help the most. 155-6-3-6.
Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Quentin Jeans. I'm a current student at Lynn Benton Community College. My road to community college wasn't easy. During high school, I moved out of my home when I was 15 years old, and I put myself through high school. I had to live in shelters, live in vehicles, and couch surf pretty much all of high school as well. Now that I'm at community college, there's a huge difference in my day-to-day life. I have a new sense of hope with everything that I do, and if it wasn't for community college, I'm sure I would still be sitting at home living in my vehicle. Some of the members of the Student Leadership Council at my school have put me in positions to already in my first term help out and kind of make a difference. I believe that community college is really a big deal when it comes to students that struggled through high school, can't afford universities, and now knowing that I'm finally in community college and finding out that tuition might go up and that I can barely afford it now, I feel like I'm going to lose my chances to be successful. So I do ask you that you consider these things with all students that struggle before you go and, raise tuition. I'm not going to feed you numbers because I'm sure you've heard them a million times, but with grants in place, it's going to help all of us in a whole, have success and to contribute as society's members of society. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Werner and Co-Chair Munro and members of the committee. My name is Cassandra James, and I am from Mount Hood Community College. I'm a former student. And I say former not because I graduated, but because I can no longer afford community college. In November of 2016, I missed school and found that I was diagnosed with stomach cancer. This is my second battle with cancer. Last time it was cervical. I missed 3 weeks of school, and instead of failing me, my instructors gave me a chance to come in and work for it. So while going through chemotherapy, I sat there and had my laptop and worked through all my schoolwork and basically did online classes, and for physics, that's not easy. So I ended up making it through the term. Unfortunately, my GPA did fall. But because of my medical bills, this spring, instead of graduating, I had to drop all my classes. I have a mortgage to pay. I'm dealing with a homeless mother. I have a mountain of medical bills to afford, and so community college is just not something I can afford right now. But I'm working towards it. I also got laid off, so that doesn't help. I'm here to ask you to please fund community college with the $636 million because my struggles, I believe, are trivial compared to some of the other struggles that students are facing. And community college is so important because my friend who went through chemotherapy with me, unfortunately, she passed away. She was at university, and she did not get the same respect that I got at a community college. So I just want to say thank you for hearing me out, and please support the 636. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Okay, Frank Goulard, Hannah Vandering, and Enrique F. And on deck, we'll have Alexis Bright and Ivan Hernandez.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Smith-Warner and Monroe and members of the committee. How do you top the last three speakers, our great students that we have at our community colleges? My name is Frank Goulard, and I have many roles. I'm a HEC commissioner, but that's not why I'm here today. but it gives me great insight and exposure to OMAHEC to see various things at work with our staff, our faculty, our administrations, our students, especially around the state. I'm here, I'm a math faculty for the last 36 years at Portland Community College. And countless students, as well as full and part-time faculty that I see every day. I was math department chair for 15 years as well there at the Sylvania campus. And what I saw and have seen gradually, especially over the last 15 or so years, is a crunch, a squeeze on our students. And for many of our faculty, as you know, about 70% of our sections at the community college are taught by part-time faculty, freeway flyers or itinerant faculty, as they're also called. And they many times have to jump, especially in the Portland metro area, from PCC to Mount Hood or vice versa to teach the classes just to cobble together a living. I didn't know if you knew, but part-time faculty, if they taught 2 4-credit lecture classes, which is about a half load, at PCC, each of fall, winter, spring, which is quite a load to have, that earns $19,200 at the middle of the salary schedule per year, $19,200 per year. So you can imagine why they are freeway flyers, many of them, to try to patch together work at different institutions. And so what does that mean? Well, not only for their livelihood, but for our students' livelihood. The students don't have their access to their time as we would like. The quality of education suffers for our students. And so for this, I totally support, of course, the $636 million ask for the Community College Support Fund, but it's not for more staff or more faculty or more administration. It's for our students so we can have better wraparound services. Students who are in debt, and as you know, when they graduate from a university, the average debt is $35,000 currently. For 67% of our students that graduate from a university, they are in debt, and the average debt is $35,000. But many of those do not finish in 2 years at a community college or 4 years at a university. They finish in 5, 6, or longer. So it takes more time. And if there was less time through better wraparound services and support services, then that would lessen their debt as well. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your support for $636 million.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs Smith, Warner, and Monroe, and committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Hannah Vandering. I'm an elementary physical education teacher and currently serve as president of the Oregon Education Association. We represent over 44,000 members across the state. We represent 10 of the 17 community colleges. We have about 3,900 faculty and staff that we represent at the community college. And our voice is here to advocate for our students and for quality higher education here in Oregon. You have my written testimony. I'll hit a couple highlights, and then I'd like to address some of the testimony today. The $550 million proposed budget that you have before you will devastate our students and community college here in Oregon. There's no doubt about it. We are slipping away. Our tuition increases are impacting our students every day. We've had a decrease in access, and we've had a decrease in programs for our students. And as a state who says we value higher education, we're not showing it. We need to fund it at least the $634 million so that our community college can successfully provide quality education to all students. We know that community colleges are a smart investment. They provide a critical point of access for students across the state and for all Oregonians to access higher education. There's no better way to strengthen our economy than to invest in education. It's time we make the difficult decisions and actually invest in education here in Oregon. This committee was informed last week that 14 of our 17 community colleges will increase tuition. 6 of them with increases of $4 to $7 per credit. May seem like a little to some, but it's a lot to our students. You've heard from our students today. We'll get to that in a moment. We cannot afford to continue to price students out of quality education here in Oregon. For as a state, we've made a decision that we would allow corporations to pay the lowest taxes in the nation for far too long. We need to step up and fund education. You have a choice before you. What's your vision? who should have access to education in Oregon? Should it be those who can afford it, or should it be all Oregonians have access to quality education? You've heard the stories from the students today. Those are most meaningful. I've heard them. I hope you've heard them and understand that the decisions that you make about whether you will work together to find the additional revenue that's needed to move this state forward or not are up to you. Adults have responsibilities. All of us adults in leadership have a responsibility to work together. The 44,000 members of the Oregon Education Association, our leadership team, are here to support you in making those tough decisions. We can no longer allow the lack of revenue to get in the way of quality education in Oregon. Please fund at the 634 that's necessary for our students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Enrique Ferreira, and I am an academic advisor, career coach at Clackamas Community College, but I also wear many hats. I'm also a commissioner at the HEC, but I'm not here representing the HEC at this time. However, I am here representing college students, staff members, faculty members, and every single member that works in the community college system, every community member that benefits from the community college, including the economy. I'm here to asking for the $634 million to continue the funding for the community colleges. Some community colleges have already started cuts. Umpqua Community College has starting to think about laying off members, staff members. How will this impact the communities? It's up to you. I'm an academic career coach, but I also assist veterans, low-income students. I help with the financial aid process in some instances, but members of the financial aid teams, enrollment services, admissions teams will be the first to go. How are we going to maintain a strong economy? How are we going to serve the communities if we're facing cuts, if we don't fund this system? Our economy will get weaker. Our system will not meet its goals to educate every Oregonian that we have. It is a challenge that we all have here. It's a challenge that you have. The stories the students mentioned to you are all over the state, from east to west, metro, and every part of the state you can think of. Everyone benefits from community colleges. I represent 3,900 community college faculty and staff members within the OEA. Our role is to educate the future Oregonians, also taxpayers. The first line of defense to poverty is education. The next nurses, the next mechanics, technical lab technicians, pilots, like at Portland Community College, Lane Community College, are going through our system. We will fall short on having the experts that we need every day, that you need every day here. If we don't fund this system, financial aid process will be delayed. Admissions for the Oregon Promise and also recruiting students for Oregon Promise will be reduced. We'll face a critical situation at this time. But it's up to you to face this challenge and support the community college systems. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Okay, our last two testifiers, Alexis Bright and Ivan Hernandez. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I thought she was going first. Good morning. Members of the council. My name is Ivan Hernandez, for the record. I'm the student body president of Portland Community College, Rock Creek Campus. And, you know, you heard the numbers. I don't have to repeat 634, even though I just repeat it. But, I mean, this is not just about money. You know, it's also about giving someone the opportunity for a better future. I am one of the students that pays out of pocket. I mean, it's not just about money. I mean, it is a big challenge. I mean, everything is going up. Fees are going up. Books are going up. You know, the price of books is going up. The price of food. Everything. And on top of it, tuition. I pay out of pocket. And back at home, there's a lot of my friends who pay out of pocket. And a lot of students have to drop out because they can't afford, I mean, the education. And all we need is, and it sounds like super simple, but we need to bring tuition back. We need to, you know, lower tuition because a lot of students are dropping out. And like I said, it's not just about, you know, the prizes. You know, it's about giving someone the opportunity to have a better future. There's undocumented students, international students, so single parents, students with disabilities who are struggling, and just tuition is going up one this year and then going up again next year. And a lot of students that cannot afford it. I am one of those students that will maybe have to drop out because I can barely afford it. I have to, you know, on top of having two or three jobs, I have to sell plasma. I have to, if you can, because it's not donating, it's selling plasma. I have to do labor. I have to just look for money somewhere else. I cannot afford. I cannot get loans, so I have to look for that cash to pay for my tuition. And I'm not the only one. Back, you know, like I said, there's a lot of my friends who have to do the same thing or to pay for tuition. So I'm asking you to please support 634 for our community college. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Alexis Bright, and I am a student at Portland Community College. I am also a student leader in the Multicultural Center. And my experience at Portland Community College has been plentiful since I enrolled 2 years ago. And at 16 years old, I escaped a chaotic home life and have been living independently since then. And with that has come a lot of challenges in general, but especially financially. And though I'm plagued with worry and stress, I've always aspired to live more and experience things that I didn't know through education. And since I've been at Portland Community College, I have just truly been immersed in an amazing community. I've been exposed to amazing educational opportunities as well as mentorship that has really helped me in times where even education was stressful and overwhelming. As many students, as Ivan was saying, it is a struggle to afford community college. Aside from tuition, we have books, we have transportation costs, we have food, we have housing, and it's so much, but there's so much promise in education and in taking someone through this journey where they can learn to move beyond their circumstance or create something that has not been created before. And we cannot afford to strip this opportunity from students who are pursuing this. So I ask you all to support robust funding for community colleges in the amount of $634 million.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, both of you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify today? We have a few minutes left, and either here in the overflow room, we wanted to give that opportunity for anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up. And I would also like to, I would like to thank everyone who testified, but particularly the students. You inspire us all about really why it is that we do this. And your courage in coming here and sharing your stories is inspiring. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. I'm going to give a second in case I hear anyone running down the hall from the overflow room. otherwise, I will close this hearing on Senate Bill 5524. And tomorrow we will be back at testimony from the Higher Ed Coordinating Committee on regarding public universities for the rest of the week. And with that, if there aren't any other issues, I will close today's hearing or today's meeting. Thank you. Thank you. It's today's hearing or today's meeting.